I'm Beth Ann Kozlovich. Welcome to The Conversation. For people with disabilities and elders who don't drive, Oahu's handy van is a lifeline to independence. This month, city council members wrestled with a study on the sustainability of the fleet under current circumstances and with a forecast of increased ridership. The system provides 3,500 rides per day from 180 vehicles for only $2 a ride. The study advocates that the cost should eventually double. Now that opinions about the handy van have faded from the headlines, what other ideas are being discussed by the city? Transportation Director Wes Fostecki is at the table. Welcome. Thank you for being here.
Aloha, Beth Ann.
So the idea that this is really about money seems to be more mitigated by the idea that it's about the people who are using the handy van. How do you create that balance as you're looking at the continuum of service and the cost of it?
Well, Beth Ann, it is about the people, first and foremost. So when we talk about a fare increase, it's really part of the puzzle to try and provide better service to the people that really need it. And that's what we were trying to explain to the city council. I think that the folks who testified that used the system were agreeable to perhaps having to pay more. But the main thing that they were looking for is better performance on our part in providing the service that they absolutely need.
When you talk about better performance, you're really talking about being on time, right?
Being on time is the main thing that they say to us over and over again, and we monitor that very precisely on a month-to-month basis. I was just looking at the statistics, and there are things that we measure like being on time or how long the trip is in terms of hours or minutes, and I think we're making some subtle improvements in those areas. But it's going to be very difficult for us to hold on to those improvements if we don't have a fare increase to kind of offset the demand. And that study that you mentioned examined technically that precise question. Hypothetically, what would happen if we didn't raise the fares, but we kept on trying to improve the service? And the amount of vehicles that we would have to have, the number of drivers we would have, are really unsustainable. And so that study recommended that we kind of try and do that balance that you were talking about and raise the fares incrementally to the point where over a couple of years they would eventually get to $4 per trip.
You're also thwarted by having to keep a standard complement of drivers when you have a lot of turnover like that. You may have a situation where you just can't even, you know, person a handy van.
Exactly. I think that being a paratransit operator is a very challenging thing to do, and a lot of paratransit operators decide to move on and find other kinds of employment. And so the attrition rate and the replacement rate is one that's very difficult for us to keep up with, even to maintain the status quo. And just in the last couple of months, I think we have actually decreased the number of operators, not increased the number of operators, mainly because of the fact that this is a tight labor market, and it's difficult to compete in that labor market for the kinds of people we're looking for.
And at the same time, a lot of these people still have to be taken from point A to point B, which is to say that you keep running around the same circle again of not being able to deliver the kind of service that would warrant a fare increase. What do you think is going to have to make the difference?
Well, we're looking forward to having the Rate Commission, which was formed by the Charter Amendment Number 4 in the last election by the people of the city and county of Honolulu through their vote, to take a very close look at this, because the city council wants to strike that right balance. They want to set the right policy to be responsive to their constituents. And as staff, we really appreciate that. And this is not a simple matter of just raising the fares. It has other aspects to it. So we're looking forward to that Rate Commission being given all the facts that we have from the study that you mentioned and looking at the dynamic relationship between demand control through pricing, which is our most effective means of controlling demand, what it would take to try and not do that as we are in the situation now and purchase more vehicles, hire more people, and what that would mean. And quite honestly, there's other aspects to this that we can't really keep up with, and that is that we have no place right now to actually place those extra vehicles where our maintenance facilities are at capacity. So even if we had the money to by the fleet and to hire the drivers, we have that logistical problem of where do we put those vehicles?
That might be more easily solved if you, in fact, had the fleet, but that will leave for a second. This also comes back to a question of who is appropriate to be a rider on a handy van, and is there a way of integrating both handy van and bus ridership so that someone might be able to move more fluidly from one to the other and not have them be as bifurcated as they are now? Who is appropriate to be in a situation where they perhaps are choosing to ride the handy van because of aesthetics or because of preference, and really they would be much better placed on a bus?
I think actually over the years we have done a very good job of making sure that the folks who are using the paratransit service, which is required by the Americans for Disabilities Act, are those who are defined in the legislation as eligible to do so. So we do go through a process whereby the eligibility of the person is determined. And we do have lifts on the buses. We do have two or more positions on the buses. And so a lot of people who are disabled, who are in wheelchairs or using walkers, do avail themselves of the bus service. And I think for those who ride the system quite a bit, they see that all the time. And those people have gotten very good at trying not to delay the bus route and trying to position themselves safely and securely. The operator does help them to do that. So we've done a lot of work in training the individuals, training the operators, making the system attractive to people who want to use the bus and are really more appropriate to do so.
As you look out over 5 years and 10 years of this system, what do you think is coming down the pike that would substantially change how the handy van runs?
Well, I think the implementation of our rail system is going to really help. Keep in mind that each station has elevators. There's level loading. I think that we're going to be able to see a lot of those disabled people who are using the bus now be able to use the train, and that will be occurring much more efficiently. If we are able to take the demand off those current bus operations, perhaps our paratransit service will be able to function a little bit better in terms of providing shorter trips to the stations. We just came back from a trip in Seattle and Portland to look at how these multimodal systems work, especially for the paratransit element. And we did see some what I would call hub and spoke operations, where the longer distances are being covered by multiple modes and multiple operators. So that may be a place where we have to go in 5 years.
And even longer term, was there any discussion about having vehicles that would be automated?
Well, autonomous vehicles are intriguing. That's something that kind of excites me because I think that there's a lot of promise in that. There might be a lot of work to do because some of the individuals we transport do need assistance. And so using autonomous vehicles for paratransit may have its challenges. But there's also the aspect of Uber and Lyft and maybe tapping into that capability, that new transportation network solution. I think Boston and Philadelphia have been doing that on a trial basis, and we're very eager to see how those different programs work out.
And coming back to where we are now, the very next step that you think has to happen with the handy van going back to the Rate Commission?
The next step is for us to educate that Rate Commission, and I think that we have very good people that have been identified so far to sit on it. The chair in particular has some expertise. She used to hold my position in the past, so she'll be hitting the ground running, very familiar with the issues, and we really need their assistance. So I'm looking forward to that, and I think that the city council's been made aware of the fact that we're having to come back to them, and it will not just be a rate increase, but it will be other commitments to have a full balance package, as you mentioned, that will provide the riders, I think, what they're looking for.
Wes Frostacki, thank you so much for being here.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
Wes Frostacki is the Transportation Director for the City and County of Honolulu.